Before we start this episode, just a heads up that we recorded this way back in March, which is like 4 years ago in pandemic time. So if the topic sounds a little dated, it's because it is. Okay, enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sapphic Culture Club, formerly Podcast of a Lady on Fire, where we explore queer themes in film, TV, books, music, and anywhere else sapphics roam. We're your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I'm Audrey Nee. Today, our friend Valerie Complex is back to talk about two sapphic films that have probably been on your radar. Maybe one of them has. But they are I Care a Lot and then the lesser known The Affair.
AKA The Glass Room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever it's called this year. Who knows? Thank you.
That's true.
For having me back. This is,
welcome.
Is this my fourth or fifth episode?
It might be your fifth. I think it's
wow,
your fifth episode.
Yeah. I think it's your fifth.
Damn.
Milestone.
That means you've been in a tenth of our episodes. That's
ooh,
a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. I deserve a plaque.
I
you
know.
Do.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're an official third host at this point.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're welcoming our third co-host, Valerie Complex.
Yes. Perfect.
Well, thank you guys for bringing me into the fold.
Oh, yeah.
All right. A couple of quick disclaimers before we jump in. We're going to be spoiling the crap out of both of these films, so we highly, highly recommend watching them first if you haven't already, and then coming back to us. Also, we are going to continue to apologize for not speaking French and also in this episode, Czech. So if we mispronounce anything, including people's names, we apologize. We're going to try. But all right, let's jump in.
Are we just apologizing for mispronouncing Czech names, but everything else we're going to do perfectly?
I don't think we pronounce any. Okay, just across the board, if we mispronounce anything, we're super sorry.
But mostly Czech.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first movie that we're going to be talking about is The Affair. Again, the original title is The Glass Room because it's based on the book called The Glass Room by Simon Mauer. Oh my God.
Here we go. Mauer? It's already happening.
I actually like the name The Glass Room better because apparently there's just a ton of things out there called The Affair, so it's like very hard to search for. It's just such a generic title.
And it was so vague. It's like once you get into the film, it's like, well, what exactly was The Affair? Like, never mind. Okay, let's.
Yes,
we can.
This is just going to be the first of our many complaints.
Just like, wait, what?
So just a little brief intro about the film. It's in English, but it was interestingly filmed in the Czech Republic. It's directed by Julius Sevcik. Screenplay by Andrew Shaw. Starring Hannah Alstrom and Carice Van Houten, who you might know as Melisandre from Game of Thrones.
Yay!
And also, I think, like, really the star of this film is, this is a big spoiler, I guess, is Vila Tukenhat. What a cute name. Which is a real house in the Czech Republic, right? I think that's right. Yeah, you'll see why in a minute. Yeah.
Should we give, like, a synopsis? It's going to be so hard. I mean, like, how do you summarize this film?
I've literally written some notes if you want me to just read them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I think you'll have to go
okay.
with that.
Although, it would be super fun if, like, one of us was very drunk and tried to summarize this because it would just be all over the place.
Are you suggesting we get drunk and do that?
Just right now.
Right now.
Okay, just, try your,
let's play
do
some
your notes
elevator
in the
music
meantime.
While we okay. Yeah. Okay. So Liesel and her husband Victor commission a famous German architect to design Liesel's dream house, which ends up being this like spectacular minimalist modernist home based on Vila Tugendhat, which I just mentioned. And a lot of the movie centers on this house. And then Liesel and her BFF Hannah are like super into each other, but Liesel repeatedly rejects Hannah's advances. Meanwhile, World War II arrives, and both women are married to Jewish men, so they have to flee their homes, and they're separated each other from, I think, basically like decades. Mm-hmm. Hannah, however, keeps coming back to the house because she feels connected to it, plus it's super sexy. Otherwise, the two lead completely separate lives through like the majority of the film, sometimes communicating through letters, and they don't, this is a huge spoiler, and they don't see each other again until the third act with like 20 minutes of the film left. So if you are into extreme lesbian longing, this is your film. Okay. Valerie, you're muted. Oh, no, my God. Is that good?
No, she was just silent with laughter.
You said if you're into extreme longing.
I mean, is that wrong?
Like, no.
It's also right. And that's why I'm laughing. That's why I'm laughing.
It's like a sport.
Yeah. How much can you endure?
How much can you not be without your lover? Oh, yeah. My God. What a mess.
Yeah. This really pushes the limits here. I don't know if I've seen another film like this, quite like this.
Oh, my God. It pushes the limits of patience, of direction, of acting, of story. Oh, dang.
Continuity.
Editing.
Plot.
Continuity, yeah. Editing, plot. Oh, wow.
As you can tell, we all love this movie. So I guess we could start with, like, what did you think?
I was amazed at how just bad it is on almost every level, except for like the acting. Mm-hmm. Like it's a film that really fascinated me, but in the wrong way. basically with all the things we just mentioned, and it manages to be saved by a very strong third act. And it's like, how did you pull that off at the end?
Yeah.
And forget the first two acts. Like, it was just a really sort of strong third act and did some things that were unexpected. Mm. Like the whole pregnancy thing. Like, first of all, like, I don't know if I talked to Audrey or Laura. I don't know if it was one of you guys that I talked to. Him. And somebody had said, this is the first movie with pregnant sex and mm-hmm. old women having sex or something
like that. Yeah, yeah.
And I was truly wowed by the part where she was like trying to like finger.
Yeah.
Hannah was trying to finger Lisa while she was pregnant. But it caught me off guard because I was like, where did this come from?
Right.
I was like, where did this come from? And so I think to make myself feel better, I assumed that maybe they had a thing
right
before the movie started. Uh-huh. And then they just got married and was like, okay, let's relax this.
It would have been great to have seen any of that, you know?
Yeah, it would have been, a lot of things would have been great for the film, but we didn't get that.
Where do we start?
Yeah, but I think that the third act really kind of saves it from being an actually complete disaster. And what the thing is that I don't think it would have been as bad if it were not for the direction and the editing. Mm. Like, they really screwed up. Like, they forget the continuity and everything like that, because those are bad in a lot of different films. But it made me realize how editing and direction can really kill a film if it's really done poorly.
Yeah, yeah. It was really confusing to watch because it looks like a good movie. You know, like, if you had the sound off and you weren't really paying attention to the plot, it's like, this feels like it should be good, but it's bad. And it's and then, you know, your mind just kind of melts. There were so many things that, like, people would just disappear.
Yes, yes.
What was the first one? Like, Liesl's husband was having an affair. One affair. This is an affair.
Yes.
Liesl's husband was having an affair with a nanny. And then she kind of just, like, they try to escape the country. And then we lose track of her. And we lose track of her daughter.
Yep.
And, you know, that's not mentioned again, I believe, except that her husband obsesses over her for the rest of his life.
Oh, my God.
And then, oh, who else disappears?
Liesl loses, like, her children, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she has, like, three kids. And then in the end, I think there's just, like, one son left. But I don't think they imply that, like, anyone has died, if I remember correctly.
Right.
She had three kids. And then at the end, there was one. And there was not even a mention of where the other two children were.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, they were off to school or anything. It was just nothing. And then the husband disappeared.
Yeah.
And I think she said that he went on a sailboat into the wild or whatever. And
as you
that was that. Unless he took the other two kids with him. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
Like, they don't say.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think there's a whole nother movie that you can make with all the stuff that's missing from this movie, as far as I can tell.
Because there's a thing. That's what's fascinating about the film, because it's like, okay, the direction is bad, but the acting is good. The costumes are good, but the makeup is bad.
The hair.
The hair.
but the makeup and hair is bad.
Yeah.
The house is cool, but it's like the story's confusing.
Yeah.
There's no continuity, but the third act works. Like, yeah. place.
It really messes with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It fucked with my head. Because I would really, it's a film that I call emotionally manipulative, making you feel things that and you're not sure what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For no reason.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you're like left like, okay, so what was I investing in?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine if this had ended in a more sort of conventional lesbian narrative way where like someone had died or they didn't reconnect or, you know what I mean? Like
oh
they never
gosh,
reconnected.
It would have
been like
mad.
So abusive.
Yeah.
After all that waiting, you know, it barely saved itself.
Yeah. I think they figured, well, they were like, this is shit. We have to give them something. So they gave us that. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, it felt like if this is an adaptation of a book, it felt like they tried to stick to the book very sort of religiously, almost to the detriment of making a good film. You know, like they were just trying to hit all of the highlights in the book, but it's not a one-to-one translation from book to film, you know?
I'd imagine that the book probably like wrapped up some of the loose ends a little better though. Like it seems like it's a combination of sticking too closely to the book and then the editing being really poor.
Or maybe the book actually does have like every fifth page missing. And that's like
oh my God.
How the book works. And so the movie was just like, all right, we're going to do this too. And nothing makes sense.
Yeah. I would describe this film as like sloppy.
But there are like things that are so buttoned up about it. And then there are things that are, yeah, super sloppy. It's so confusing.
It's a really, really confusing film. I don't get it.
I hope it gets another edit. I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's too bad.
The Snyder cut.
The 4 hour.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I would watch that.
Oh, my God. You know, the one that ties up the loose ends. I don't get it. I mean, and their relationship. I didn't even get that because it was just, it really came out of nowhere and then didn't exist for like an hour and 15 minutes. And then they got back together for 20 minutes. And then it was like, okay, so it's time to leave. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait. They're not going to get back together for 20 minutes and then leave, right? This is not ending this way. But then it didn't.
Right.
The ending is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's like two, you know, you don't usually see, I know they're not old ladies, but, you know, they're supposed to be old ladies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fucking. And I thought that that was sort of well done.
Yeah.
I mean, the choreography was bad, but I thought that that was pretty, well done. And the fact that it didn't end in a typical way, because come on, I thought it was headed for death.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah,
somebody's
going to
get blown up. Or something like that.
Or like one of them's going to die and then their love remains unrequited forever.
God.
You know?
And then she just exists in her imagination.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yo, oh, God. She uses her imagination.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, you know, when you talk about the affair, it's like, which one?
It's really, it's like the affairs, right? Because there's, everyone's having some kind of affair, I guess.
Right. Like Hannah had I don't know.
Oh, right. Hannah had two affairs because she had an affair with the architect who designed the house. And then she had an affair with a guy who was living there.
Right.
Right. Who was like designing the warplanes.
Would you consider that an affair? It felt kind of coercive because he was like part of the Nazi party or something. And she was trying to get favors for her husband. And
sure.
I don't know.
Okay,
it seemed a little bit like
loose affairs.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the affairs.
Yeah. And then Liesl's husband and the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Liesl and Hannah. Like, it was just so much going on. It was like a soap opera.
Yeah.
A slow
a
opera.
Slow, painful.
It's like the affairs ZZZZ.
Oh, are the Z's like a snore sound?
Yeah. It's pretty. It's pretty slow. I mean, there's kind of a lot of drama, but you don't really care about anything. I think for most of the film, it's like confusing. You want to care, and then like there's certain. Definitely, they're like toying with your emotions. I think, but ultimately, because there's so much going on, and it's like so muddled that you barely care at the end. You know.
Yeah.
That's my experience anyway.
Yeah. Going back to something Valerie said earlier, like. The chemistry that they were trying to set up early on, it never took, right? Like, every time you saw them together, it was just, like, they can't wait to just start, like, caressing each other for some reason? It's just like, yeah. I mean, I guess. But, you know, is
that
it because...
That big belly, Laurel. Like, don't you want to... She's, like, about to pop, by the way. Like, that is not, like... Yeah. She's not, like, 6 months pregnant. She's, like, 10 months pregnant.
That was super pregnant.
She's like, can I touch it? And I was like, is that supposed to be some kind of sexual innuendo or something? Can I touch it? And I was like, her stomach or what? I was like, what is going on? And then when she put her hands down her pants, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, there's no consent.
Hold on.
I was like, there's no consent here. You're just going to do it.
She meant, when she said, can I touch it? She meant like, can I literally reach inside and touch your baby?
I want to touch your fetus.
I just want to touch the baby really quickly.
Real quick.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, they set that up and then the characters separate for an hour and 15 minutes. It's like, okay, well, are we going to see more hands in the pants or what? Yeah. So I don't know, man, this film is, I don't know if I can tell people to recommend it. Like I want to, but then I don't know. I feel like, people should see it more as an experiment of what not to do in film, as opposed to an entry into sapphic cinematic history.
Yeah,
because it's not a. I don't know if they were trying to market it. Like when they reached out to me, I was confused, and after I watched it, I was like confused because I was like, "Are they trying to market this as some kind of queer film? Like, what are they trying to do with this?" So they sent it to me, and I watched it and everything, and I was like, "I'm not sure why they. I wasn't sure why they sent it to me." And then it hit me a couple of days later. I was like, are they trying to market this as something LGBTQ or what?
They're probably desperate to get anywhere, right? Because I don't think this film is getting a lot of attention at all, you know?
Yeah.
We sound like the only ones that have seen it besides the people on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it might be true. Okay, do you remember when they were finally like about to make love, you know, towards the end of the film? And they cut to that scene where Liesl's son is in the club. Like, I don't know if you remember this. It really shook me. I was like, oh, maybe the two sons were hooking up and it's like gay. There was this parallel action happening. I was like, that's interesting, but kind of cool. But no, like the son was just like hooking up with some woman on the dance floor or something. I don't know what was going on, but like, I did not get that. It felt like to me, like, don't worry, straight people watching
this. We have something for you too, straighties.
Yeah, we have something, exactly. It felt so bizarre and like, what a strange, I mean, it's all part of the same problem with like the editing in general.
And then like, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place came on and it was like, oh yeah, I gotta, no.
And it was also weird because it was like, Even when they were like in the process of like making love or whatever, it would like cut to scenes of the hallway. And I'm like, I don't understand why.
You gotta give straight people a break. They
get
can only
the
take
hallway. Wink, wink.
I'm like, I don't understand why we're seeing furniture and then making out. We're seeing hallway and then taking off the bra. We're seeing window and then making out again. Like. Okay, so you see the spotlight coming through the window, but did we really have to see all of that to see the spotlight that came in at the end when they were in the bed anyway? Because the intercut scenes made the sex scene seem really short. It was like, was that just 10 minutes or 15? I know they're old, but damn, what happened?
Well, I mean, it's been like 60 years since they saw each other or something, so it's like, you know, they have a lot of pent-up lesbian desire.
That should be like all night.
I know.
Yeah, that should be like all night or not like 10 minutes, but oh man.
I think what happened is probably like the book thing again. You know, like there was probably this really beautiful metaphor with the architecture of the house and how it like parallels the relationship.
I think you're giving them too much credit.
I might be, yeah.
I mean, I guess we could read the book to find out, but.
No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's like if the book's anything like the movie, no thanks.
Yeah. Oof.
I will say, I don't think it deserves the 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's a little harsh because I've definitely seen worse films that have a much higher rating.
And I've seen worse queer or whatever this is trying to be. I've seen worse and it's like, this doesn't even scratch the surface. It's poorly made, yes. And there's a lot of things wrong with it, but it's not the worst thing in the world.
So that's the review. it's not the worst thing in the world.
Could you be doing something better? Sure. But if there is nothing better, maybe.
Oh, man. What a terrible, what a recommendation.
Wait, I'll say, so what would you guys give it out of 10? I think I said five.
Don't make me say it.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
That's good. Like, yeah.
No, it's not. I think I said,
I guess it's better than I expected.
I teeter between 4.5 and 5. Because I really liked the third act. I thought the third act was really good. At least, you know what? Maybe my standards are just low for queer cinema. And I just thought that they were going to die. And I was like, oh, they didn't die. That's good. Like, that makes the movie great. They didn't die.
Yeah.
And maybe my standards need to be higher.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 4.5. 4.5.
I still feel like that's generous of you.
So, Laurel, what would you give it?
My instinct was like a 3. But after hearing Valerie's rating system, I might be closer to a 4 now.
It gets extra credit because no one gets murdered.
Yeah, that was nice.
And there's no rape, right? Wait, is there?
Was
there
she raped?
Yeah, there's no rape.
It's a little gray.
Well, no, she. It's a gray area because she knew what she was getting into, and I think she knew it would lead up to
that's
that.
True. That's
she
true.
She was just trying to. She was trying to give to get.
Yeah.
And didn't get anything. Yeah.
That's fair.
But she got a baby, and so that's what she got. And that was, I'm sorry, the scene where she was talking to Liesl and Hannah were talking about how Hannah can't have children, and I'm like, are they gonna make out after this reveal? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on with this movie? Oh no. Okay, sorry, I just had to bring that up. So maybe it's great, it's a little coercive, but I don't know if I would say it's great.
Right.
Extra credit for not rape.
Oh my God.
Extra credit for no rape. Extra credit for not killing lesbians.
Yeah.
Extra credit for old women.
Yeah, they get together and in the end, that's great.
Definitely extra credit for that. Yeah.
Extra credit for exploring pregnancy, sexuality, I guess.
Yeah.
Points for that too, I guess. And yeah, but that's still a 4.5.
Yeah.
I gave it a 2.5 on Letterboxd, so I guess that ends up being about 5 out of 10, right?
Yeah, about 4 or 5.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5.
Okay, so would you recommend it?
Not to everyone.
Shit.
Not to everyone.
I think it just, oh man, I think if people just want to add to their sapphic cinematic collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
That's all. I would actually recommend it to anyone who loves modernist architecture because it's one
true.
Of the few films where I feel like a house is a character in a way because, you know, they keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
For me, like, that did a lot. That definitely bumped it up from, like, the house did superb. Like, I feel like incredible acting.
The house is excellent. Oscar.
Yeah.
Best architecture in a film.
So that alone, I feel like, bumped it up a point for me.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, there you have it. I am curious, though, if anyone listening has seen it.
And has a different rating.
I can tell you where to go watch it for free, fmovies.wtf. And if you don't even want to see it for free, I don't blame you either.
All right. Should we get into I Care a Lot?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Oh, my God. Are you ready for more? Here we go. I Care a Lot.
All right.
This one is directed and written by Jay Blakeson. It stars Rosamund Pike, Aza Gonzalez, Diane Wiest, Peter Dinklage, and Peter Dinklage. I thought there was going to be more people. So the premise of this movie is that everyone's terrible and...
That's it. Done.
Rosamund Pike plays Marla Grayson, who is running small to medium sized con where she finds older people who can be diagnosed as not being able to take care of themselves, get the court to appoint them to be her ward, and then as their caretaker, she takes everything they have. And this is how her company generates money, by essentially stealing their property and reselling it. And this apparently is actually a thing that happens in real life. Ugh, it's horrifying. high-level thoughts?
I would add one thing, which is that she's actually bribing doctors and, like, medical professionals.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To basically declare these, like, elderly people as legally unfit. It's not just that they happen to be, right? Like,
Right.
The whole system is, like,
they
in
become,
on it.
Like, a feeder for right. her. Yeah. Why did we do these back to back?
One
oh
of these
gosh.
Days we're gonna get a movie that we all love.
The thing is, it's like, I think actually there was a point to us talking about these two films, because I think what they have in common is emotional manipulation.
Ooh, yeah.
What the film wants you to do is it wants you to root for these two assholes. Those two bitches are terrible people, but the film wants you to root for them. And then, like, when you get tired of her and you want to get her out of there, you're rooting for Peter Dinklage's character, who is a human trafficker and a murderer. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is fucked up. So you want us to root for a bunch of terrible people under the hashtag girl boss. What is going on here? The thing is that I think I Care a Lot is a good movie that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I think it's well done. Mm-hmm. It's well shot.
Yeah.
The acting is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think the story is actually really cool. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You might say, I don't care a lot.
Cool. Ditto. I do not care for it. Yeah.
And also, I really didn't like the fact that Marla had this girlfriend, a woman of color, who she was manipulating over and over again, and the broad was falling for it. I was like, what is going on? I was like, did they really have to do this? Because there's a power dynamic there that I don't think anybody saw until they watched the dumb fucking movie and started reading the discourse. And it was like,
oh man.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I didn't read it as being manipulative. I kind of just felt like they were both kind of...
There were points where she was, explicitly sort of manipulating her to, like, go along with her.
Yeah, because she wanted to get out of the whole situation, like, three times.
Yeah.
Three times she was like, let's end this now.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, but, you know, honey, you know, whatever. And she was like, okay, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, really? So, yeah.
I wonder if they had leaned into that more and given her character Fran an out and twisted it so that, like, somehow Fran ended up being an actual character that you could root for,
if that
would have
been
made for a better film, you know? Because in the end, it's like everyone was a villain in a way.
Yeah.
I was rooting for Diane Wiest. I mean, I think she was villainous in her own way as well, but
right. She
ended up being, like, this total badass because she was the one person who was kind of challenging Marla, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been great if she had a bigger role and ended up somehow, like, fucking Marla over, but even that didn't really play out.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about her getting shot at the end? It didn't feel like victory to me. They had already created this empire where they victimized a whole bunch of people already.
Right.
And making profit. So then they had the nerve to, like, shoot her and try to make this guy, who's actually the real hero of the film, seemed like some asshole because he shot her. And it was like, you know, he was the only one that actually cared about his mother and wanted to see her. But they tried to make him seem like he hated Marla because she was a woman. And that's how they spun it. And that's the type of manipulation that I'm talking about with this film. It tries to turn characters into things that they really are not, just to get you to root for, just so that they can give Rosamund Pike an Oscar nomination or some shit.
Yeah, I felt like they were doing that to be like, oh, everyone's so complex and, like, there's so many layers. Even this supposed hero who shoots Marla, like, he just happens to be a misogynist too, right? I think to your point, it's all just to sort of emotionally manipulate you. But in the end, it's like, I definitely don't feel like I was rooting for anyone except maybe Diane Wiest, but it's like, definitely that character wasn't likable. The judge was just so easily manipulated, you know, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can root for the gun. Let's root for the gun.
Well, Audrey, I think you put forward an alternate ending that I thought would have been nice, which is, I think this is what you said, where maybe in the future, Marla is actually a victim of her own company at some point, you know, like she becomes, she's older, and then she has all of her stuff taken away and her agency as well.
That would have been cool.
I have to double check this, but I think Baby suggested this too. Yeah, like I think it would have been a more satisfying, ironic ending where in the end, she's this like elderly woman who ends up getting like manipulated by the system that she helped, you know, create essentially. But I don't know why they decided to just kind of like end it there. It felt very unsatisfying and ultimately,
yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think about the two's, Asa and Rosamund Pike's relationship in the film?
That was my favorite part.
That was my favorite part. And part of the reason it was my favorite part, besides the fact that I actually think they had real chemistry.
Yeah.
And that Asa is like obscenely attractive.
Right.
Yeah.
The other reason is because like their relationship was not centered in this way that it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you are, yeah. you, this is a lesbian couple. Let's make a big deal out of it. It just was.
What
it just,
would lesbians do right. in this situation?
Right, right. It just felt very normal, which is... This is probably one of the few films I've seen where they didn't center it. You know what I mean? Like it was just like kind of part of the storyline, but NBD.
And it's like, thank you for this lesbian relationship. Thank you for Asa Gonzalez. But then like, did they have to be these people? I take it back. Like I actually liked Fran's character all right, except for the fact that she was part of like,
yeah.
there's an attitude that she had that I appreciated,
yeah,
but then,
yeah.
you know, the work that she does is horrible. But, like, if I could have them in a heist movie where they're, like, robbing a bank or, like, a casino or some, like, big financial institution, oh, my God, please. That would be amazing.
Like Ocean's 8-ish or something.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but explicitly gay. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think that that's really, that actually sounds good. And I think that I Care a Lot is not framed as a heist movie, but it uses a lot of heist movie devices.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And it's not so much a heist movie. It's a confidence movie.
Mm.
It's a con movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But it uses a lot of, like, heist imagery and direction and...
Structure stuff, yeah.
Stuff like that. It's structure. But I do agree with you guys about how their relationship kind of just was. And it was, like, actual real chemistry
yeah.
that seems mm-hmm. to be continuing beyond the film.
I know some of the photos are a little bit like the one where she's like just holding her breast is a weird one, like Rosamund
yeah,
is just like
yeah I was like and they're just standing there and I'm like just so yeah I'm like I don't see I mean okay like I
sure,
don't see a problem
yeah.
with it but sure
and she's always calling her like
her
wifey
wife,
or
yeah.
something yeah.
she's like
wife
declares that she's her wife yeah
I'm like does something really happen here like what happened
and, I wish
so I think that they are really good and I like what Issa says in her interviews about how she, you know, pushed to wear less makeup and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
she didn't want her attractiveness to be a distraction from the character she was playing.
It kind of was
yeah.
anyway.
And I was going to say it was anyway,
right,
but that
yeah.
just shows how much of a natural beauty she is.
How charismatic
yeah.
she
oh,
is
totally.
Too. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And how charismatic she is. And I think people really had an opportunity to focus on her acting instead of her tits and ass,
yeah.
which, I mean, we're always going to be focused on, right? But also, she has other things going on. And I really think that if anybody comes out on top, it's probably her.
Great.
Like, I know Rosamund Pike won a Golden Globe. Okay, so. But I actually think for Issa, it'll lead to more roles for her.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so,
she
too.
Said,
yeah.
And I did see an interview where she said that she was really happy to be able to play this role versus more of like a TNA kind of...
Yeah, I think typically she's cast as like the sex bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like her confidence, the way that she exuded like just a certain kind of confidence in the film was... It was very potent, you know, just the way that she would like turn or look or, you know, sit or stand. I'm not obsessed. It's fine.
Sit or stand or just breathe.
But the thing is, it's, I mean, I think that that's really good to pinpoint because her character doesn't talk
right.
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her character does not.
It's a lot of body
but
language.
She managed to sort of, right.
Yeah.
She managed to create the character's sort of aura and body language. And I don't think she's been given an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And I think she really took advantage of that.
Yeah.
So props to Issa Gonzalez for doing that. I told my friend that if I had it my way, if I could make like a live action, like Carmen Sandiego show, like a series, I would put her as lead.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I would put her as the lead.
Yeah.
Damn.
And make that character just as smart as the game or the show.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so good.
And I think it would be dope.
Think of all the baby lesbians that would watch that.
Can you imagine a queer? I mean, because Carmen Sandiego is clearly queer coded, right?
Oh, she's so queer.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh my God, that hat. Come on.
Can you imagine her with a man? Like, what? It doesn't make sense.
Actually, I can't.
Yeah.
I've tried. I can't.
But, you know, so I just think, like I said, if anybody comes out on top, it's her. But
yeah,
I don't like the movie overall. I just don't. And you could tell it was written by a man who thinks he's a feminist.
That's a good point. But that's another thing between these two films, actually most of these films that we're watching, is that they're all written and directed by men.
This is a
like the last three movies we've talked about.
I know.
Yeah. Well, The World to Come wasn't directed by a man.
That's true.
But it was written by a
man. It was heavily man-fluenced.
Yeah, it was man-fluenced. I'm using that.
That's great.
I'm using that. There's a heavy man-fluence there. but you
can smell it.
But it feels like the film is more weighed down by the man-fluence and like her on-the-nose exposition about, you know, I'm here to win, and I'm a woman,
I'm a
and
lion.
I can have whatever
right,
I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, girl, shut up. Like, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up. And, you know, there's also a lot of other dynamics that play, like racial dynamics. This white woman is getting away with whatever she wants to get away with.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of interesting avenues that the film could have played with and just chose not to.
Yeah.
So, that sucks.
I was wondering if maybe Jay Blakeson? I don't know, whatever. Balakayason
is probably who it is.
I wonder if he was like, you know what's cool right now is lesbians and girl boss culture, and I'm just gonna...
And vaping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the vaping! Oh my gosh.
Scream vaping!
Oh, man. Yeah, so he just took girl boss culture, you know, ratcheted that up as far as you could go, and then made her a lesbian, and then, hey, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think when he talks about it, he talks about, like, how, you know, he wanted to kind of draw attention to this real thing that happens with elderly abuse within guardianship. But I'm like, was this the right approach for us to kind of pay attention to this?
Were the right vehicle for this?
Right, like, right, exactly. Yeah.
What are you trying to say here with this representation?
Like, the movie's trying to say a lot of things and says nothing at all.
That's a good review.
Yeah. I mean, unless if you think, like, you know, white women gets away with everything,
your
thing.
Right, right.
Then, well, yeah.
But... Yeah, I don't think we needed this film to reinforce that idea at all.
Yeah, right. I think I Care a Lot could have just been something else, and it just wasn't. So, it's if I had to rate it out of 10, I think I'd give it like a, I don't know, like a 5.5. Because it has a lot of good things going for it, but I don't like the execution.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
The ultimate message is really just sort of souring. You know, like it makes me feel bad to have seen it for both this and The Affair and maybe all lesbian movies so far except Portrait.
Ever.
I just want to rate parts of the film, you know, because it's
I think I enjoyed maybe the first half of this more than the second half. You know, like I liked the sort of introduction of the twists and turns. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? You know, and seeing like kind of Diane Weiss being like badass, but and like their relationship, despite their like villainous nature, you know, was definitely entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So rating that alone, it would be different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't mind rooting for, you know, quote unquote bad guys, but wow, they were terrible people. There were things about Marla's character, though, that I, you know, I was like, wow, she's a very competent and persistent person. Definitely, you know. And if those had been qualities in a better character, that would have been nice. I think it's like a 5.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.5 on Letterboxd. So I guess once again, that's a 5.
Yeah,
In many ways, this was a better film than The Affair, like, technically speaking, I guess.
Yeah.
But it still left me with... Whereas the other one, I was kind of like, meh, I'm a little bored. This one, I'm like, I'm kind of upset.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like you lose points for that. But they do get a lot of points from me for just making the relationship between the two women is, like, not the thing of focus.
Yeah.
And it just was. And I'd love to see more of that in general. Moving forward.
I think the way that they handled that relationship overall was kind of like the highlight of the film for me. You know, it, like, so the fact that it wasn't the focus is great. Yeah. The fact that they had so much chemistry, it was great. The way that they, like, supported each other doing these terrible things was actually kind of nice, except for the emotional manipulation, which I guess I just glazed over while I was watching because they're so beautiful.
I will say my favorite Twitter review of this is from Amy B, and they wrote, "I didn't like I Care a Lot, but I'm happy to finally see some representation for the vape community."
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so disappointing that we had all of this star power and production capability and it made this, you know, instead of something that could have actually been good.
Right.
Like Carmen Sandiego, live action.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much, Valerie, for joining us. And we look forward to next time you come back to talk about something hopefully we all like a little bit more.
Yeah, because we've been talking about, I think everything we've talked about, we didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
Or like one of you liked more than the other or whatever.
We're due. We're due for something we like.
We deserve it.
Yeah.
We deserve better. We deserve it. Maybe we should just start revisiting old stuff.
Ooh, I mean, that's not bad. Down for that. Yeah, for
okay.
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
We should do like a Valerie Complex's movie club and then
everyone
can.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Perfect.
So, I mean, y'all had a long ass season one.
Yeah. You're telling us.
Long.
Very long.
So I know season two is gonna pop. I'm so excited that you guys are on for season two and you have some great listeners and that you guys have been great. And I love talking to you guys all the time.
Same.
Same, same, same.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Valerie.
And now it's time for this week's Gay ASMR, which features my partner Allie and I adding a dark wood stain to her parents' patio chairs. Staining wood, for those of us who are unfamiliar, I was unfamiliar before we did this thing, consists of taking a small, it looks like a paint can, but it's about the size, at least the ones that we were using, were about the size of a coffee mug, and dipping a small cloth into it, and then lightly running the cloth, so adding a layer of that stain to the surface of the chair. So that is what you will be listening to in this next segment.
But before that, do you have any burning questions for the next show? Let us know. You can email us at sapphiccultureclub@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at sapphiccultureclub. And you can also find us on Twitter.
Sometimes.
At sapphicpodcast. All right. Please enjoy today's Gay ASMR.
ASMR.